Hey, everybody. We've been gone for a little while. We've been preparing for this episode, but we had a tragedy in my family, in our family, and just want to give a prop out to my father, who passed on a couple of weeks ago, really suddenly, and he lost a battle to cancer, and didn't make it, and it was a fucking shock to all of us. And he loved The Godfather. That's what we're here to talk about today. But I just want to. He was supportive of this. He was always supportive of me and my movie stuff. He was always supportive of me doing anything to do with movies. And I love him and I miss him to death. And the show must go on, man. I wanted to get back to recording as soon as possible. Spoke to old boy. We were in agreement. So we decided to do one of the probably more difficult things to do, which is to tackle the fucking Godfather saga. But you know what? My dad would be proud. And this is in tribute to my father.
Yeah, this is dedicated to Uncle Al.
Albert Vincent Candela Jr. To my father. He's back together with my mother again after 32 years. Thank fucking God. If there's anything good that came from this, they're reunited and rocking the heavens. They're just together, and that's fucking amazing. So I love you, Pop. I love you, Pop.
I hope that we could come here and reason together. And as a reasonable man, I'm willing to do whatever's necessary to find a peaceful solution to this problem.
Then we are agreed. The traffic in drugs will be permitted, but controlled. And Don Corleone will give her protection in the East, and there will be the peace.
But I must have strict assurance from Corleone. As time goes by and his position becomes stronger, will he attempt any individual vendetta?
Look, we are all reasonable men here. We don't have to give assurances as if we were lawyers.
You talk about vengeance. Is vengeance going to bring your son back to you? My boy to me. I forgo the vengeance of my son. But I have selfish reasons. My younger son was forced to leave this country because of this Sollozzo business. All right. I have to make arrangements to bring him back here safely, clear of all these false charges. But I'm a superstitious man. And if some unlucky accident should befall him, if he should get shot in the head by a police officer, or if he should hang himself in his jail cell, or if he's struck by a bolt of lightning, then I'm going to blame some of the people in this room. And that I do not forgive.
The first memory I have of The Godfather was when I was very young, and it must have been at least in 78 or 9. No, it might even been later than that, because it was the first time they were playing it on cable, and Uncle Al had Cablevision, and we didn't have Cablevision. We lived in Queens. The only thing that was available for us was something called WHT.
Uncle Al and Aunt Chris.
Uncle Al and Aunt Chris.
I love when my mom is referred to as Aunt Chris.
Aunt Chris,
I love
yeah.
It. I really do.
And my parents were sitting in the living room with Uncle Al and Aunt Chris, and we were little. I mean, I don't even remember, to be honest with you, how old we were, but...
Were we together?
Yeah, you were there.
Sneaking, peeking around the...
Yeah, we were trying to catch a glimpse of what was so intriguing about The Godfather. I mean... We didn't even know what it was, really, but right. We were like watching it from this little alcove, like this hallway door that, like, the living room was set up in such a way that there was an open doorway, and then there was a couch against the wall, and across the wall was the TV.
Yeah.
And we were like peeking in, looking at the
and
we're like, oh wow, it's like, you know, cursing and sex and violence and
chaos.
Yeah,
right,
and,
right?
It was, and it was
for
just
little kids.
For
and they were transfixed, right?
Oh,
they
yeah.
were just like
they were
plugged
like,
in.
Exactly. They knew they were watching something great. I'm sure they had seen it already in the theater, But like to be able to watch a film at home now like this that they first saw in the theater was like amazing. You know, it was like, holy cow, look at this. We're finally, nowadays there's such media saturation. We could watch it anywhere, you know, at any time. But this was like, and you had to watch it when they were playing it. It wasn't like you recorded it and you were watching it.
This was like the home broadcast premiere. Like, yeah, and they
everybody
were like
gather around, around. It's about to start. And you, there was no pause or anything like that.
Right.
You have to watch it from
like,
beginning to
end. Kind of like a movie theater.
Yeah.
They had a start time and there was no pause. There was no rewind. There was no, give me a second, I'm going to go to the bathroom. There was, you sit and you're at the disposal of the cable company. That's so, your first memory of The Godfather?
Yeah, you know, so that's,
You
know, as far as, you know, we're dedicating the show to your father because he loved The Godfather.
He loved The Godfather.
And the fact that the first memory I have of The Godfather was at your parents'
house.
That's
fantastic.
And, you know, the memory of that, you know, like only to find out years later how, what the whole craziness was about.
It took me years to watch that. I didn't watch it actually until I was 15. And I told him beforehand, I said, it's time for me to get into the, I announced it. Cinemax was running it finally. And I said, I'm going to get into The Godfather. So they're running 1 and 2. And he was like, oh yeah. And he said, great movies. that was just the way he was. Just great movies. And especially then, he was still getting over my mom. It had only been 8 years at that point, and he was kind of, he was upset for a while over the loss of my mom. And then I watched them, and I knew I was watching greatness, but every time you watch it, just like any fan of the saga will tell you, you see something else. You get something more out of it. And that's what happened with me as I got older and I watched it more. And especially as I got into my 20s and then my 30s and started to really watch it and watch every part of it. So we saw The Godfather Part 3 together on opening day, Christmas Day, 1990. My father and I think I've brought that up in the past before. And we always disagreed on whether we liked it or not. I liked it. And he fucking hated it.
Yeah, my parents hated it.
He would never watch it again. And he loved making fun of it. And he loved making fun of Sophia. And he just thought it was, he just thought it was awful. Awful. But I disagree with him on that. But this is to you, Pop.
Yeah.
We love you, Pop.
Love you.
What?
Is this it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think this is us. Hey, everybody.
Hey, what's going on?
I think your mic is off. Even perfect.
What's going on?
What's up? What's up, people? We missed you.
Big time.
And
we missed doing this.
We missed doing fucking this, man. And, you know, this is a monster. So we got a couple things we want to talk to you about first. First of all, we got a new format announcement to announce to you guys. I've put it out on Twitter, and that's about it. We're going to do new 30-minute shows from now on because of this new fucking decade of
ADD.
AD fucking D people that don't know how to watch things that are longer than 5 minutes, and they don't know how to listen to anything that's longer than a half an hour. And, you know, I'm looking at the numbers, and it looks like more people listen to the shorter episodes and then they listen to our longer ones, but they seem to fade out, a lot of them, right at about the 25-minute mark because they're fucking pussies. So
exactly.
I'm going to cater to you pussies for a while here.
I just want to say something. I am an undiagnosed ADD patient.
I mean, I am too. So,
but when it comes to movies, I'm fine.
Yeah, no. And when actually, I'm the opposite when it comes to movies. The longer, the fucking better, man.
Fuck yeah.
Cleopatra, I tackled that motherfucker, no problem. both the I'm talking the director's cut, the way they originally wanted it. They wanted it to be 6 hours. They wanted it to be two films. And I watched that whole uncut thing, and I loved it. And give me a long movie.
Tell me about it.
You know,
right before you started recording, I just finished Lawrence of Arabia, the extended version.
Did you watch the Blu-ray?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I watched the extended version. It was like a little over 4 hours. But finished it.
What did you think of the copy?
Looks amazing.
Did you motherfucker?
You know, there's a
did you see it? No. Are you
no,
lying?
No, I'm serious. You're giving me eye signals. You know what I'm saying? You know,
no,
anyway.
Why? You didn't like the movie?
No, I loved
it. I'm trying to get to the bottom of what you're laughing at.
No, I'm just laughing because I was saying about the whole ADD thing and how we were starting, and now I'm explaining a joke now.
Let me explain.
Not good.
Look, listen.
All right, go.
You're right. Yeah. Okay.
30-minute format.
Pull back to the shore. I'm going to pull you back to the shore.
Yes.
You pull me back. Somebody's
catch
pulling.
That.
Let's get it. Okay, back to what we were saying.
Yes.
Okay, so 30-minute episode. Second of all, we have a ton of emails pouring in, and we've got a ton of feedback coming back that I just didn't expect from Twitter, from our email accounts, from voicesfilm.com, and it's all this incredibly positive feedback about the show, people loving it, and that is blowing our minds considering we've only done four episodes.
Yeah.
We've only gotten four episodes in, and all of these people are listening and encouraging us to keep going. And somebody actually the other day wrote us just to tell us that we were doing great and to keep it up. And every word, every letter means the world to us. So
yeah.
We want to thank you guys. We love you. We thank you. And I want to tell you real quickly where we can be reached. You know, you can always go to my homepage there at voicesfilm.com.
Beautiful website.
I'm going to say our homepage.
And a great website.
How do you feel about that?
I love that.
Do you
love
that?
All right,
I'm sharing it with you. It's ours.
And it's definitely...
It's ours.
It's ours.
And what do you think?
I just want to say that it's such a beautiful website.
Thank you.
The work that's done on it.
Thanks very much.
I mean,
man.
Especially for the ADD generation, it's just beautiful. Like,
Thank you very much.
I mean, you just get sucked in by all these beautiful images of all these things that you love. If you're a movie fan, you're there for movies.
Right.
If you're a TV fan, you're there for TV.
Right.
So you get to see. Well, I don't know. You find some great stuff.
I
you
like
post
the
it up
artwork,
there. It looks beautiful.
You know,
yeah,
I always
I mean,
make sure I put like high res artwork.
Yeah.
I always make sure those trailers are high res. And if I'm going to get into like a review of something like you and I talking, we'll stick to what we were talking about.
But we
try to keep it real over there. And people have been reaching us at info@voicesfilm.com. That's all one word, info@voicesfilm.com. But, you know, you can also reach us personally if you want to. You can reach me at Wes@voicesfilm.com, or you can reach Old Boy at oldboy@voicesfilm.com.
Yeah.
And you can reach out to us on Twitter if you'd like at voicesfilm, all one word, @voicesfilm. As far as the podcast goes, like we said, it's been just better than we could have possibly imagined. I think it's magic in my opinion. And, again, thank you so much to everybody that's commented and sent in their support. And we fucking love you guys, and we're just rocked. Please subscribe to our show if you dig it on the iTunes Podcast Network. Subscribe, make a comment if you want to, and you're digging on the show, or you can find us on Stitcher Podcast Network. We're going to be on a few other networks. I'll let you know as that happens. We're also going to do a couple of format changes to the shows that are going to be coming up. We're going to do movie-only podcasts, or we're going to do a review-only episodes. And we're playing with that. Nothing's locked in stone. We don't know where we're going. We're just playing, but we're getting organized.
Yeah,
and people need to get afraid now, because now we're getting our shit together.
And also, if you are Daenerys Targaryen, I'm going to post my phone number on the website as well. So give me a call. So back to where we were.
Don't get me on Game of Thrones, the finale. She did get on the dragon. Jon Snow did get killed. There's no way he's staying dead. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, no,
a little bit late.
Everybody knows.
You may have just heard Marlon speaking before as Don Vito Corleone. Again, that is I'm bringing that up for no fucking reason at all.
You know what? I never heard anybody call him Marlon. You must be very close with him.
I was.
Yeah, because everybody just calls him Brando.
You're right. Everybody does.
But you call him Marlon.
I do. Well,
Marlon is Marlon Wayans.
He yelled.
Brando is Brando.
Marlon is. Was he last Boy Scout? No. Am I thinking of one of the other 13 fucking thousand Wayans brothers? Or I don't know.
Pretty bad movies. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, last Boy Scout. The only problem. Well, okay. So again, pull me back to shore, man.
Godfather.
I'm floating. Okay. We got some upcoming guests we wanted to talk about. We've brought this up before, but I've locked it in with my cousin Matt Candela and my buddy John Nuzzi of That'll Play. They're coming in July, and they're coming to review, dissect, celebrate Christopher Nolan's masterwork, The Dark Knight. We're going to do it. Fucking bang it out. We're pumped. Spoken to them a bunch about it. They were actually, of course, Matt was at the wake representing Candela Strong. But John was there also, which meant a ton to me. And I told him that then. I'll tell you guys again now. Thank you so much for your support and your love. If possible, we're going to try to get my brother involved. But in order to do that, we would have to Skype him in. And I'm not big on that whole fucking, hey, let's dial up my brother in Arizona. I'd rather he was sitting here with us. And motherfucker, I wish he was, because he just loves that movie and he's brilliant on it. My uncle Mike Candela, coming on. I want him to be a collaborator on many things to do with the site, but we have one thing that we've nailed down as his first introductory review, and that is Superman the movie, the Richard Donner 1978 classic film, and we want to discuss the legacy of the Man of Steel. And it's the first of what we hope are going to be many collaborations. Also have discussed The Sopranos, an entire series review, Jesus God, with brother Darren DeSensei. Darren, I hope I'm saying that right, man. A.K.A. Desolation Angel. He's written reviews on the site for Milano Caliber 9, most specifically. And he's a brilliant, brilliant, hyper-enthusiastic movie fan just like us. So we're really, we're real positive. Wanted to say, give a little shout out to Michael Clark out there in, where's that guy live, Michael Clark?
Massapequa.
Hey, Mike, what's up? We love you, man.
Love
Thank you
brother.
For your comments. You were fucking awesome, dude. Really, every word counted, and we just wanted to bring you up and say what's up. Thank you so much for your positive feedback. Keep listening, please. Thank you.
I just want to say, in one day we'll have Mike here, and we're going to do a Lord of the Rings thing with
fucking
him.
Fucking A, man. Done. Definitely. That's excellent. Mark Beamish from Historia, you know who you are. Thank you. I know he said he was going to listen to something. Next thing I know, he's listened to every fucking thing we did, and he had a comment on all of it. And just thanks a lot, Mark. He's a good, good fucking guy, good friend. Pascal from France, I brought you up before. I'm going to bring you up again. Your Voices Films number one fan, number one supporter. You've been there since the beginning. We both love you. Thank you so much for everything. And
thanks.
I want to finish this off by saying to my mom and to my dad, Chris and Al Candela, together again after 32 years apart. I love you. I miss you. Thank you for watching over us.
God bless.
God bless. Thank you, guys. Now for the main course, The Godfather. All right, what are we doing? Jesus God, here, man.
Yeah, where do we start?
Where do we begin?
I really wanted to say in the beginning of all this is I was reading something recently about how AFI has said that The Godfather would be number two. I mean, Citizen Kane, they say number one is the number one film, but they say Godfather's number two. And all right, you know, we all watch Citizen Kane and we all appreciate Citizen Kane, but The Godfather.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's tough.
To say that it's number two, it's like saying it's number one because.
But it was number one for a while, wasn't it?
I think Citizen Kane has always been number one.
But what was the What was the film site that gave Vertigo the top spot not too recently? The Sight and Sound poll or something gave Vertigo top spot, which I can't argue with at all. I love Vertigo.
I don't think Vertigo is better than The Godfather. So, I mean, we're talking AFI, and we're talking, I don't know what
and the American Film Institute is saying that Citizen Kane is the number one best film of all time, and then The Godfather is the second best film ever made of all time. That's what they're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd argue that. I love Kane, and I love Kane for its photography, but the behemoth that is The Godfather, how layered it is, and how elegant it is. It's a perfect storm of a film. Mario Puzo, Francis Ford Coppola, and Mario Puzo co-wrote the screenplay along with Coppola. Actually, the correct way to pronounce his last name, Coppola, is Coppola, and I just found that out, and I've been saying Coppola for years.
What about the Puzo thing? Is it Puzo or is it Puzo?
Mario Puzo, I guess.
Mm.
Puzo.
You can keep calling him Puzo.
I'm going to say Puzo.
Puzo.
Puzo. Fuck.
Either way.
I think it's Puzo. You're probably right. My Uncle Jimmy knew him. Jimmy Oliva. God bless. Billy Oliva. God bless.
Knew?
He knew Mario him. He did his fucking kitchen.
Shut up.
Jimmy Oliva, Consumers Kitchens and Baths. He did his fucking kitchen, man. and he knew Bobby De Niro when my Uncle Jim was in the hospital. Robert De Niro sent him a menu from his restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah, from Bobby. From Bobby D.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts. He's like, you want to meet him? And it's like, yeah, but I never did.
Yeah.
I never did. But I did meet Scorsese. I don't know if I ever told you that. Moving on, let's get back to The Godfather. So
where does this epic film begin? I mean, we're talking about,
we're going to begin at Godfather 1. Let's start discussing the first film. I mean, I think there was a few things that we had talked about when watching Godfather. Let's assume that you haven't ever seen it.
Yeah.
The Godfather,
wait, and if you haven't seen it,
there's spoiler alerts. Yeah. We have to tell you now that we're going to spoil the absolute shit out of this movie.
Because you should have seen it.
It's ridiculous if at this point you still haven't seen The Godfather.
It's very sad if you haven't.
Fucking stupid, man. I don't know. Why wouldn't you have seen this movie? You have to see this movie. You have to watch the second film if you've seen the first, because it only complements the first film. And then the third one, I think, is essential. And people would argue that, but I think it is.
I think this film needs to be watched at least once a year.
I think a lot of people do just that. Yeah. I think they do. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's amazing. And now, you go. Don't let me cut you off.
Basically, what I was going to say was that Francis Ford Coppola is if you're going to say a film, you know, a master filmmaker, but he's also a conventional filmmaker. He's conventional when it comes to where he chooses to put his camera, how he chooses to shoot his films. But something about his films that are just complete masterworks, everything that you see. But starting with The Godfather, something he does with Godfather 1 is when the film begins, by the time the film has reached 15 minutes, mm-hmm. every character's persona is touched on.
Yeah,
it's so brilliant. After you see the film and then you watch the film again and you're looking at like the beginning of the film, how we start off with Brando, you know, having these guys approach him and asking him for things, and then in the middle of it, you get to see Sonny, and you get to see what they're waiting for Michael, and all these things. Before, like, 15
Tom
minutes
Hagen
passes by.
Whispering in his ear.
Yeah, you already know who these people are.
Yeah, right.
You know who's going to do what, who you can trust, who
Fredo
you can't
walking,
trust.
Fredo walking up to Michael and Kay all drunk and being kind of the buffoon, silly brother with a big heart of
he's
love.
He's a mess.
Right? And the performance is great. I don't know if we're there yet, but great performances by these people also. But you're right.
The key thing that happens, though, that tells us what's going to happen is they're about to take that photo, the family photo.
Yeah.
And Brando goes, wait a minute, where's Michael? We're not taking this picture until Michael gets here.
That's it.
And that's
it. That's huge. That's a massive.
That just says Michael is the key.
That Michael is the key.
And then Brando knows that. Brando knows that.
This is a brilliant plot device. So I know that Coppola, I'd heard that he had said this. He didn't look at this and wasn't interested in the film until he envisioned it as not a story about crime, but actually a story about a king and his and the king's sons, the sons of the king, the princes. So what it would be was the godfather was the king, and each son would have a, and there's a daughter, there's Connie, but each son would have an aspect of his personality, and the his innocence and his tenderness went into Fredo, the violence and ruthlessness went into Sonny, but the intelligence and the strategic thinking, that went to Michael.
Yeah.
And you can actually watch the film and see those traits in each of those characters, and it becomes completely obvious if you look at it that way who is going to end up rising up and becoming the Don of the family. But you don't know that when you're first watching the film. You're really watching. You think it's a story about the Godfather. It is a story about the Godfather, but the Godfather is not the man you think he is. It's not Marlon Brando. It's Al Pacino. It's
right.
Michael. It's Michael Corleone.
Right.
And you're watching his ascension from an ex World War II veteran, respected, who's been a civilian and stayed out of the family business. His father is gunned down because he won't support the drug trade. He won't get into the drug business, and he's gunned down to try to be taken out by the Turk, Salazzo, who's a new rising figure in the criminal underworld. The Godfather 1 starts in 1945 or 46. And in reaction to this, Michael races home to be at the side of Sonny and Fredo and their adopted son, Tom Hagen, who is Consigliere. He was the adopted son. He's a friend of Sonny's, and he went to law school, and he is the advisor to the Godfather. And the family is in chaos because now Sonny is in control, and Sonny's a madman, and he's killing everybody that had anything to do with the attempted murder of his father, who survived the shooting. And then you have that scene that we discussed where Michael has to end up coming up with a plan to save his father and save the family.
So brilliant.
And I'm going to play a little bit of that scene now, because I think it's not only brilliant, but
it's also a
necessary.
Shame we're not going to be able to get like the true reaction, because you see the reaction on the faces of the family.
You really need to
see.
But
still, we'll get to hear Michael.
You will get to hear Michael.
Captain McCluskey broke Mike's jaw.
What about him?
Now, he's definitely on Salazzo's payroll and for big money. See? Now, McCluskey has agreed to be the Turk's bodyguard. What you have to understand, Sonny, is that while Salazzo is being guarded like this, he is invulnerable. Now, nobody has ever gunned down a New York police captain, never. It would be disastrous. All the five families would come after you, Sonny. The Corleone family would be outcast. Even the old man's political protection would run for cover. So do me a favor. Take this into consideration.
All right, wait.
You can't wait. Can't wait. I don't care what Salazzo says about a deal. He's going to kill Pop. That's it. That's a key for him. Got to get Salazzo.
Mike is right. Well, let me ask you something, Professor. I mean, what about this McCluskey?
Huh?
What do we do with this copy?
They want to have a meeting with me, right? It will be me, McCluskey, and Salazzo. Let's set the meeting. Get our informers to find out where it's going to be held. Now, we insist it's a public place, a bar, a restaurant, someplace where there's people so I feel safe. They're going to search me when I first meet them, right? So I can't have a weapon on me then. But if Clemenza can figure a way to have a weapon planted there for me, then I'll kill them both.
Now, important to note, Sonny stares on in disbelief and also just amazed because this is the only way.
Yeah.
This is the only way. He's recognizing that right before Clemenza, Tessio, who are the capos of the family, burst out and start laughing along with Tom and then finally Sonny, because this is Michael, the civilian. And they're, you know,
like you said, you saw in his face, you saw Sonny was in belief.
Sonny was.
Until everybody started laughing, Sonny.
Right.
Was right there with him.
He was like, this is it. And if Michael could pull it off, this saves us. This saves Pop. This saves the Corleone family.
Play the guys laughing at him. You have that there?
Yeah, I do. I do have it. But I got to say, we hit the 31-minute mark, and we're going to say goodbye for right now. And we're going to catch up with you guys next week. Tune in for part two of the Godfather Saga review. This is Wes.
And old boy.
And we'll see you then.
Coppola.
Peace.
Ciao.